Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are going to get to Robert Williams and the Celtics. But this quote from David Price is lighting social media up right now, especially Twitter, where it was put up by John Morosi, who dropped the Paul in his name. No longer John Paul Morosi, just John Morosi. Morosi, again, if you didn't hear me in the update with Hardy, he asked David Price about the possibility of opting out after this year, and Price said, quote, "I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse.
Who's?
I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out." I interpreted that, again, we didn't hear the tone of it, but I interpreted that as, oh, he's not opting out. He knows he doesn't want to give up his money, and he's not going to talk about opting out because he's not opting out. He wants to stay.
It's a good answer from him. It's a really good answer from him.
And
that's what he should say.
It's sort of funny because Joe Murray retweeted it and wrote vomit.
I agree with that tweet.
He took it the same way I did.
Yeah.
We all do. Great, he's not leaving. Jim Murray retweeted it with a frowning emoji guy, and so he took it that way. So some people are taking it the way that I did, and then Rob Bradford retweeted it and wrote, "This reminded me of the prototypical college coach's in-season response to moving on. I have no intention of blah, blah, blah." You know? I have no intention of leaving. You know, like, we all go back to the famous one, Roy Williams. You know, all pissed off. "How dare you insinuate that I'm going to UNC?" And then he takes the job like a day later.
Nick Saban, Bobby Petrino. A million college coaches have done that. Petrino did it to the Falcons.
So maybe it can be interpreted that way, too. I don't know. I interpreted it to mean that he's not going to opt out because I don't think he's going to opt out. Maybe it's just what your preconceived notion is.
Or it's just drama, building drama to the end of the season. Like, oh, this is going to be on the table. I'm going to have to be asked about it a bunch of times. I'm going to give non-answers, and there'll be some drama at the end of the season building up. Well, nothing in there says the future, though. Nothing in there says anything about the future, which means...
No, it does. It says now.
I want to win now. I want to win here. I want to win with this team.
Yeah, you don't want to be standing there at a clubhouse locker commenting on the future or your money or what you have left from a contractual standpoint. You want to give the type of answer that allows your team that you're thinking in the now. That's what you want your team to think. Like, you're concentrating on now. I'm not worried about that type of stuff. I'm here to win now, this year, period.
I think it's possible this guy comes in. Well, first of all, he's got to pitch well. If he does all the stuff he said in that tweet,
I think he
wins now,
out, Jim.
Wins here,
yeah,
and pitches well enough to get a good contract,
yeah.
He's going to shove it in everybody's face and leave.
Good.
Maybe.
I'd take that.
Maybe, because now he's a guy that's into his 30s, and it's harder to get the big payday when you're not just turning 30, you're into your 30s. It's hard to do it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. I don't think he's going to opt out.
That would really upset J.D. Martinez if he opts out and gets money from somebody.
Ooh, but J.D. Martinez...
Like quick money, like in a month.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez is going to get to opt out in a year, which I'm sure he will. In fact, I would bet on that. If I could bet on J.D. Martinez opting out, I would bet on it. So I'm curious to know, is that how people feel about this quote? Do they feel this means he's staying or he's non-committal? He's pulling the Roy Williams. He's acting like, there's no way I'm leaving.
What would answer be? What would his answer be if he pitched well in the last two games? Would his answer be any different?
No, I don't think it would be.
Or is he aware of like how much people dislike him and how much they dislike him now after these two games?
No, so
crap, I better give a good answer.
Believe it or not, this quote is in line with things he said the entire time.
Good.
He's always said, I have 7 years. I got to prove that I can win. You know, I'm not going anywhere. He has reiterated that a number of times. I don't think this is any different. Okay. So maybe that's why we can't believe him.
Man, even when a guy may be telling you, this is the point it's come to with him. Like, he can't even give a good answer. Because we're going to just analyze everything that comes out of this guy's mouth instead of him pitching. Problem is, pitching isn't going too well right now.
He says, I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out. He's saying he's giving it no thought. If that's honest, that means that he's probably not going to opt out.
I mean, when you have that much money...
If he wants to opt
really,
out, he'd be thinking about it.
Do you sit there and dwell on the money when you have that much money to begin with?
Maybe not.
You know?
This is the guy that wanted to go work at McDonald's.
Like, there's a comfort... See, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's definitely in a comfort place from a money standpoint. He knows he's going to get it. It's freaking guaranteed money, regardless of what it is. Like, what I got to worry about it? Probably more worried about what time I'm going to play Fortnite and how long. Man, I'm sorry to bring up the Fortnite joke, but... You're the one that said it 2 weeks ago, and then it all went to hell for you. You have comments about the All-Star game, too? Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to pick
well,
me.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about that now.
Don't have to worry about that. Vote for Benny, though, people. Get Benny in.
Very understandably, you didn't want to address this issue during the week, but many people out there with the game over want to know what your level of interest is in the North Carolina job, Coach.
Bonnie, I could give a flip about what those people want. As a journalist, you have to ask that question. I understand that. But as a human being, that's all those people that want that answer to know right now, they're not very sensitive.
If they offer you the job, though, would you be willing to take it?
I haven't thought about that for 1 second. And the guy in your ear that told you you have to ask that question, as a journalist, that's fine. But as a human being, that's not very nice because it's not very sensitive. And I got to think that in tough times that people should be more sensitive. I could give a about North Carolina right now. I've got 13 kids in that locker room that I love.
Where's he coaching now?
I couldn't give a bleep about opting out at the end of the year. I haven't given it 1 second of thought. And then he opts out. That would be the college coach comparison. Good comparison there by Rob Bradford. Who, by the way, Rob Bradford reported back in 2016 that David Price did not ask for the opt-out in his deal. Here was the quote, 2016. When asked about his current commitment to the Red Sox. He goes, oh, no. He said, when asked if he was the one who asked for the opt-out in his deal. This was his response to Bradford in 2016. I think it was spring training. Oh, no. I think that's just kind of the new way to do things these days. It's been the trend over the last couple of years. I don't even think I knew about it. I didn't ask all the specifics when his agent, Bo McInnes, had told me we had reached an agreement. That's just how it goes. So he was not the one demanding the opt-out when they did the deal.
That means either the agent or Dombrowski knew he might have a tough time here.
Right. And they did him a solid.
Agent.
But he was not the one. The player did not push for the opt-out. Now, with J.D. Martinez, that guy was pushing for the opt-out. Him and his agent were both pushing for that thing. David Price told Rob Brett, oh, no, I didn't ask for that. That's just how things are done now. They just put those in there. That's just part of the deals. So Price didn't ask for the opt-out. But he's got one. He's got one this offseason. I doubt he takes it, man. I doubt it. It's too much money.
I mean,
it's too much to give up.
Look at Boogie Cousins. He opts out, right? Leaves money on the table to go take $5 million to go hang out with Golden State for a year and then get back into it and make money. Does Price think, shoot, I can opt out? There's somebody that's going to give me a contract. There's stupid people in baseball.
Yeah, but he's already gotten the contract from the one of the guys that are stupid people in baseball.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me.
Unless he has a Justin Verlander type, you know what I mean? Type postseason. That's the only way he gets a deal
like
that.
At some point, too. I mean, like I say, you're financially sound. You got the money. Now, is it about your well-being and your mentality? Are you that miserable? Do you hate it here that bad? Because if you hate being somewhere, there's no dollar value that can make you want to be there and to go through that every single day. You might be listening to this right now thinking you're crazy because anybody would do it for $31 million. Yeah, $31 million a year, I could be miserable in any city. But when you have that much money and it doesn't matter to you, does your mindset matter to you even more now to where I want to go out, I want to play in a market where it's not inside a fishbowl, where everybody's going to stare and analyze every single thing I could say. I want to go out on the West Coast and just bleed into society. And nobody would know who I is when I'm walking down the street. There's no guy on a talk show from 2 to 6 with a megaphone. Oh, no, it's me, David Price. I'm the one who got him all pissed off. No. Yeah.
Coming up next, I promise we will get to Robert Williams and Marcus Smart. Robert Williams
I want to party with
has
Robert
been
Williams.
Assigned a babysitter by the Celtics. I'm not joking.
Finally got an athlete other than...
babysitter.
Yeah, I want to party with this dude.
Babysitter for Robert Williams. Also, later in the hour, Zoe's take on one of our callers while he was gone as we got caught up on all Zoe's takes from his vacation. That's at 1:36. Don't go anywhere.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I'm on my way, I'm making it. I've got to make it show, yeah. So much larger than life.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Beatle.
Robert Williams. They've assigned him a babysitter. They're calling it a personal tutor. Alex Barlow, 26-year-old assistant that's going to work with, directly work with Robert Williams.
It's like David Spade and Tommy Boy. Wants you to babysit Tommy.
Yes, he is David Spade to Tommy Boy.
Oh, this is great. Good for the Celtics, though. This
Richard?
Smart. Yes.
He is Richard, is who he is.
He's been a naughty boy.
So, Richard is, I'm sorry, I meant to say, Barlow.
Yeah.
He, last year, associate head coach for the Maine Red Claws. He joined the Celtics organization in 2015 after graduating from Butler, where he started his college career under Brad Stevens. Ooh. His role has not been defined in full, but it's already clear he will be asked to help Williams both on and off the court as they try and provide guidance to all their young players. The particulars of the relationship may evolve, but the current plan calls for Barlow to assist Williams from everything from his perimeter ball handling to free throw shooting to his professionalism. If he ultimately spends time with the Red Claws, Barlow could end up taking the trip alongside him, which means Barlow can get demoted back to the D League the same way that Williams can. Oh boy, does that suck. How about that? How about just his start in Boston? This guy. Missing the conference call. Dropping like a stone in the first round. Missing his first summer workout.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a disastrous start. Good thing they're assigning him a babysitter. He needs it.
Yeah, I play with guys like this, too, and you could tell who they are. Guys that need to be spoon-fed, hold their hand on every single thing that, you know. And it's usually the guys that are pretty damn good athletes. You know, it's usually a skill guy, meaning it's a DB or it's a receiver, a running back, because everything's just come natural to them, and they just can run. They can catch the ball. They can run guys over. They can blow by guys. And they just never follow form or function. It may take a while to get this kid going, but pretty smart by the Celtics to have the wherewithal that they probably knew this during the draft process. Okay, this guy's going to continue to fall and fall and fall. If he's there, we're going to get him, but we need to be smart about it. We need to handpick someone, and we need somebody to babysit this kid. What does it say that he missed his conference call? He missed a workout, missed his first flight, missed everything. Like, that's a bad start for him. I know you want to, you know, kind of, you could potentially throw, I don't blame you for throwing a word bust out there. This guy could be a flat-out big bust.
Could be. I mean, this is how it typically starts.
Or it could be a home run. I don't know. You know, but how many chances do you get? He's got strike two against him already. What happens at strike three? Do you continue to allow this pattern to take place? And what have they said to him? Does he fear them? You got to have some fear in the player.
That's what I've said many times. I mean, this guy is looking for that.
Yeah.
I hope he likes Maine in February.
I've heard they got good chatter up there. Probably some good lobster salad rolls. I mean,
Portland's a good
lobster
town,
rolls.
But it's cold, man.
It's
middle
nice
of winter.
Pretty town.
Nice spot.
They got a nice arena up there?
Yeah
it's decent,
right downtown.
Huh? Yeah.
I forget the name
cool.
of it.
It's a scenic spot up there. People like to go up there.
I think it used to be like the Civic Center.
Yeah, he'd stick out like a sore thumb up there, man. Hey, I'm chilling in Portland.
I don't know what it's called now.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a little bit of the Summer League game. Just see what he can do. Move around. He looks like he can move around pretty well. But was he in any kind of shape when he came in? Why did he get hurt so quickly? What did he pull? You know, you get up here, you get a hard workout. Next thing you know, you're sore as hell, and you screw something up in a game. That's probably what happened. It's no injury. He's got
service. Now called Cross Insurance Arena.
Cross Insurance.
Formerly the Cumberland County Civic Center. I knew it was called the Civic Center.
Yeah, the Cross Insurance Pavilion down there at Gillette. I think, yeah. Right there at the top of the hill.
Yeah. There's that, and then there's Marcus Smart, who is apparently ready to accept his qualifying offer at $6.1 million.
So that's bad news for the Celtics. Now all of a sudden you get the Smart situation, which is good news for the Celtics.
Sort of good.
Might get this player at $6.1 million. Whoo! He was barking at Jackie Mack that, what, 12 to 14 was thrown out there, and he said, I'm worth more than that.
Yes.
I'll lay my life on the line for this team. There's no other players in this league. And I do believe that. We talked about this earlier in the show. He's at least worth $10 million a year, right? So why not go a little north of that as the team, if you like him, which I think they do. And Danny's played his cards the right way here. I don't know what he's so offended about, the Celtics not going balls to the walls to go after him or to retain him and keep him. But it's part of the process. It's what you do. Patriots did this with Edelman. Go test the waters. You'll see what you're worth. And then we'll sign you. Throw $22 million, like you said earlier, Adam. 2 years. Or three for 36. You get a player that likes to play here, that knows the system, that knows the team, that already has built-in chemistry and understands his role. And you hone it. That could be a good signing. You get him 3 for 36 and do that extension, maybe during a year, who knows. But it's a good sign for the Celtics.
Let's go to Bob who's in Brookline. Bob.
What's going on, boys? Loving the show today.
Thanks,
Bob. I did want to mention this Bob Williams, right, this guy, just because you guys were talking about it. I agree, man. You guys hit it right on the nail. This is a Fab Mello 2.0 right here.
Yeah, Jim Loft did that, right.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, like, his first year in college, he shot, like, 60% free throw, and then his second year, he went to, like, 45%. So, I don't know. I question his work ethic a lot, you know. But my reason for the call, guys, I just actually want you boys' opinion on this. So, me and my buddy made a $200 bet that I bet that Trae Young was actually going to have a better year than Luka Doncic. I think that's another bust all over. And then I love that he's in Dallas. I love the Mark Cuban thing. But I just think that Trae Young is just run and gun. He's going to shoot, like, 15 threes a game with Atlanta. Atlanta's going to suck. And I just think that Trae Young will have the better year. And
Just points?
So we're going off points, rebounds, assists, and steals.
Okay, so how do you determine who has the, like, if got one guy has more assists and one guy has more points, how are you going to determine this?
So we're going to determine whoever finishes on like a higher all-rookie team. So if Trae Young finishes first on and Doncic goes second all-NBA team, I win the bet. But we're mostly going for like points and assists and steals because that was the main bet, because I just honestly think that Trae Young is just going to jack up shots just like he was doing it at Summer League, you know, even though it was awful. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
Kids and you analytics.
I have no idea.
Millennials.
They're both top five picks. They're both supposedly good
players.
What the
hell I know about them?
I don't. I'm not going to give you any informed opinion on that. I don't have one. I'm just wondering how you gauge that. Like, who's the better rookie?
Yeah. Talk to me at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'll know. I'm an informed take of who was better.
No, but like,
no, it's serious.
The Jason Tatum stuff where he finished, what, third or fourth or whatever. Who's the best rookie at the end of the year? Jason Tatum. He was carrying his team at points during that Cleveland series. Never backed down from best player in the world. Got better as the year went on. Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good. Donovan Mitchell was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
And he had a good year. I would not have given it to Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons looked like he looked lost.
But again, I don't care. I just don't care about it. Those are things I don't care about. But yeah. Hey, all the power to you. $200 bet. That's no joke. That's real money there. A couple hundred dollars on who's going to have the better year.
Yeah.
I think they better figure out between now and the start of the year how they're going to definitively decide who wins. Like all rookie team? No. Base it on like two... You got to base it on something that can be easily figured out.
We got one more of those when Zoe was away on vacation.
Yes,
things,
we
right?
do.
Who'd you work with when I was gone? Arcan, huh?
Arcan, a couple days last week.
How'd that go?
It's good. Enjoyed it.
A lot of people like Arcan.
Great guy.
Got a lot of feedback on that.
Did you?
Yeah.
People are enjoying the Arcan.
Enjoying Arcan. I think they're used to him from all his coverage at the other place and during Sox, right? He did a lot of Sox stuff.
Did a lot of late night things.
Late night things.
A late night
stuff. Tap dance himself.
Still
right?
works nights.
Nice.
With the Vulture.
Oh, God. Evil darkness.
All right, well, Ken and Lowell called while you were gone.
I am very interested to hear Ken's call. I heard
nice.
One. Yep, good. Let's do that
next. Hardy wasn't here either, so we'll hear it next.
Oh!
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox go at it tonight against the Rangers. It's the first of three to begin a seven-game homestand. They're coming off a sweep of the Royals in Kansas City. Rick Porcello picking up his 11th win of the year. 3 earned runs on 9 hits, 7 innings in his start yesterday. David Price was asked about the possibility of opting out after this year. He said, quote, I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse. I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out. Five Red Sox are named to the All-Star team. Mitch Moreland, for the first time, he'll join Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Craig Kimbrell. Roger Federer advancing to a record-extending Wimbledon quarterfinal for the 16th time. He won in straight sets today over Adrien Manarino of France. Also, Serena Williams advancing. Headlines are brought to you by Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of David Portnoy at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zoe's take on stuff he missed. He missed. He's been gone away. Now he's back. Let's get Zoe's take.
Okay, time now for something else that Zoe missed. Hardy missed it as well. It happened at the end of last week on Friday. But before we get to Ken and Lowell, we must remind you that this Saturday, the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. The first 80 donors will get a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's right there. You can go up, get some lunch.
Get some wings.
Get a beer. Walk-ins are welcome or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. It's happening at a good time because the Red Cross today issued an urgent call for blood donors. They are having a shortage. It's prompting them to issue an urgent call for donors, all blood types, but especially type O. They need type O right now.
Help them out, folks. Help them out.
You need to give now. You can help save a life by giving blood with the American Red Cross and 98.5 The Sports Hub Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. happening at the Best Western in Woburn. Okay, now on to the call from Friday with Ken and Lowell. You guys have not heard it yet. We can start it. Jim will play it. We can also stop it if need be. So go. Ken and Lowell, how are you, bud?
Ken, have we talked before?
I think we did. I don't know. Hey, Beetle, I don't even know who's in the studio now. But anyway, I'm saying hello to everybody.
Okay.
All right, so pause right there. Completely blew off Christian Arcand.
Yeah, no respect.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who you guys are.
Said hello to him. He's saying, I'm saying hello to everybody. Remember, who else was in here?
Remember when Portnoy called our show and Hardy started talking? He's like, who's that speaking? Like, you know, it was like one of those
moments. Yeah,
like he
didn't know.
Yeah.
He knew.
They know. They always know.
All right, more from Ken and Lowell on Friday.
All right. I wanted to talk on the Dave Price issue, but you just brought up
Dave?
Dave Price.
Dave Price?
Who's Dave Price?
I think I bought a can of paint from him last week.
All right. I wanted to talk on the Dave Price issue, but, Dave, you just Dave brought Price? Up professional wrestling. And I want to say...
Was he listening to that podcast, that wrestle?
Yeah, there was no real discussion
I'll
about
slap
professional
you slap
wrestling.
Me podcast we have? The Sarge and Jimmy?
What I believe, I compared something else, and I said, well, if you do that, all of a sudden you've become wrestling. I was talking about another sport.
You got them all excited then.
Because it was something, you know, to a fraudulent level.
Something
where
fake
I said,
about it, right.
Yeah, you don't want to be fake. If you do that, you become wrestling was sort of my thought.
Isn't SummerSlam tonight?
There was no real discussion about professional wrestling.
God, it's Monday.
No, it was Raw tonight at the
Monday
Garden.
Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, okay, more from Ken.
And I want to say, are you still there?
We're still here.
Okay, I just want to say, I think it's wrong to make professional wrestlers go through anger management counseling.
Anger?
Okay.
Anger management.
Yeah.
It's about time someone tackled this issue.
Why is that? What made you think of that?
Well, I think it's wrong. I mean, you know, every time Kane, the illegitimate half-brother of The Undertaker... Every time he goes in the ring, he's a friend with everybody, and that's not right for the sport. Don't you agree?
Hold on.
So Kane
is related to
serious take.
Is he related to the Undertaker?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Illegitimate brother. Cronin. So the mother's sleeping around.
Caps Cronin nods his
on the
head,
old
yes.
man. So the Undertaker's old man is sleeping around, and now he's got a half brother named Kane. This guy's like an animal.
Speaking of Caps Cronin,
he's side face off.
Side topic: got in a bad car accident while you were gone. Caps Cronin,
the intern, driving
yeah.
pizzas. Right.
Yeah, there was a fatality in the accident.
No,
the guy who hit him.
No.
That's what I hear.
Really?
What, he didn't die? Now he's undead? You don't know.
Telling you to shut up.
Oh, I think I'm pretty sure he's dead. Pretty sure he's dead.
So did you
listen?
Did you get,
hold on.
Was it your fault?
No, it was not his fault.
He says it wasn't.
It was not his fault. Yeah, someone else hit him. He was the second car to get hit.
His car didn't look that bad. He's back there crying. He interjected it in a conversation that had nothing to do with him or car accidents or anything.
Sure it did. He told us about Kane and that illegitimate half-brother.
We were back there talking about the guy who ran his boat into a rock. I said he's 75 years old. And intern said, oh, that's how old the guy was who hit me last week. I'm like, oh, I guess we're talking about this now. What? You got in a car accident? Please tell me all about it. And then he showed me a picture of his car. It didn't look that bad.
Yeah.
Kind of like you and your car accident.
Beetle. Oh, yeah.
You're out of the hospital 2 hours later. You should have gone to work. But back to the wrestling thing. Are wrestlers forced to undergo anger management? Is this a new thing?
I have no idea.
Because Ken is railing against it.
I'm just flooring that Kane is his half-brother. Like, illegitimate.
This call is nowhere near over,
like,
by the way.
Stepchild.
There's a lot more where this
Give
me more.
Okay,
give me more.
Keep going, then. Okay.
For the sport, don't you agree?
What?
I wouldn't know. I'm not a wrestling guy, but it sounds like an informed take, Ken.
Anyway, I want to talk about David Price, and I figured out the answer. I've given it a lot of thought. And this is how we do. David Price, $30 million a year.
Yep.
Nobody's gonna. You can't do a trade with this guy. All right,
really?
You can't do it. Nobody's gonna take him if they're at full. All right.
I thought they'd be lined up.
All right.
So now, what I'm having to say is that what you do is you start him in games against teams who are 20 games under 500 or more.
Yeah, like the Royals.
For example, the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay. Good. Do you play him against the bad teams?
Yes. You start him against the bad teams.
Yep.
You get good at 6 or 7 innings out of him. That way.
So now, like Kansas
what I'm talking about is, like, you're minimizing the you're already going to cut your losses. That's what I'm saying. And now, when we play a serious team, like the Yankees or something like that, then you use him as, like, the setup guy.
Okay.
So you basically got him in a dual role, Ken.
Wait a minute.
There's someone talking in the background.
Was that our Ken going, he's starting to morph into Jones.
But there's somebody in the room with Ken he's making his call.
It almost sounds like someone's feeding him what he needs to be saying.
Or it's just agreeing with him, kind of like his hype man back there.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't catch this the first or second time I heard this call, but he said the setup guy for the setup guy.
Play it again.
The setup guy.
He's the setup guy for the setup guy.
He's like
the
fifth inning guy.
Assistant to the assistant regional manager.
Also known as the guy in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
The eighth inning is the problem for the Red Sox, but they're going to solve it because Price is going to pitch in the seventh
inning. He's turning into Dwight Schrute.
Or six.
I feel like the setup for the setup is six.
Six plus.
Yeah.
Was Ken at that?
Like an iPhone.
Is he at that?
Call me iPhone pitcher, Dave. Dave Price.
What's the name of that place he was in Lowell? The brass place, or something.
Oh.
He was in there for pipe fitters or something up there.
Oh.
It was a legitimate place you looked up.
Oh yeah, the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kettle, something kettle, something.
They had a brass kettle,
copper kettle,
copper kettle, teacup.
Something like that.
Copper kettle.
Setup guy. Setup guy.
Okay.
So you basically got him in a dual role, Ken, is what you got. You got him doing multiple jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's going to happen. Just like Tim Wakefield.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Can we get Tim Wakefield out of retirement? Is that possible? I mean, you know.
I don't think it is, Ken. You have a fabulous weekend.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Here's quick.
Cappy's Copper Kettle.
Cappy's Copper Kettle. I love Ken. There's a lot of hot takes on Fridays. He's a Friday caller now.
He's a top three caller to the show.
Nah. That's not what I'm talking about. What do those countries got to do with you being European countries? I'm in Cappy's Copper Kettle in Lowell right now.
He's called a World Cup. He's called a Dave Price.
And wrestling. Anger management. And wrestling.
I now know that I will never look at Kane the same way again.
Huh?
Guy has it all.
I just hope he never saw the Hulk Hogan video. I have a whole different take on that. Ay.
So the anger management thing is like a storyline,
I guess,
in wrestling right now?
It's probably some made up thing, like, hey, you beat up this dude, so you need anger management classes to control your anger.
He doesn't think it's right.
He said turn him loose.
Someone needed to speak up against what was happening, and he's here to do it.
You know, every time Kane, the illegitimate half-brother of The Undertaker...
Jesus. Jim, you weren't in for this?
I was here.
Oh.
Oh, the one with T-Bone.
That was Friday, right around this time, like 1:45.
One of the peak calls of all time. Put those two together. Huh?
Arcane.
Do that for me.
Also, excuse me, Heidi.
All right, coming up next, today's takeaways on Zolak and Bertrand.
They give.
Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Wake Up When Eating Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of your Boston Red Sox. I almost forgot to read that.
Yeah, I was waiting on you.
Whoa.
I knew you'd remember.
I get a little slow on some stuff today, but I felt I was pretty good for the 4 hours.
Huh?
Nice.
He's a little slow.
I screwed up the Wake Up When 80 number.
Hey, I see
844-346-1800.
I see Vulture. But I also see Matt McCarthy. So are they both in on the afternoon?
I saw Big Jim.
Tall drink of water.
So that's the crew. No Felger, no Maz.
That's a pretty good crew. That crew win.
Didn't we just see Maz working?
That crew win
TV?
Today.
We just saw him on TV.
Well,
Maz was picking up a check doing MLB Hot Talk.
All right.
Yep. Same with Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy will do anything.
Shaughnessy rocking the polo shirt under the jacket.
Yep, the classic old guy wear on TV.
I never understood that.
No flow.
You should go without the jacket.
The only time you should ever wear that is when you win the Masters. You got your golf shirt on.
Yes.
They're putting a jacket
on. Good rule of thumb.
The only time it looks good.
You wear a polo under a jacket is when you win the Masters.
Any other time you do it, you're a tool. You are a tool.
Excellent job.
They don't come in tomorrow. I don't care.
All right, so Felger is still away.
Scorting people in the
Jurassic Park or wherever he is. And
yeah.
All right.
What was that thing you were talking about from your backyard? What happened?
He was broadcasting from his backyard on Nantucket.
Like, underneath shade, or?
No, in the bright sunshine.
I wish I could do
that. He wants to get the sun.
You didn't see it?
If he can do that, I could do that for my pole in Wrentham. Or from the Cade.
We're going to start doing it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. He's got clearance. Why shouldn't we have
pool
clearance?
Party at Zoe's.
Right. We do our remote. Then the street team's got to be there. I don't know.
Why? They weren't at his house.
That's a good point. Where's the wood?
I don't know.
The wood?
No idea.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be like from a vacation spot? Hell, do it from Milton.
I said,
save the extra 20 minutes driving in.
Do it from my backyard.
Right.
I got trees.
That's cool. We have that option to do that.
Yeah. I got bushes.
I like
just
that.
Like him.
Yeah.
Think you're so fancy?
Yeah. I'll show you some bushes.
Pool party at Zoe's.
Yeah. I got that pizza, the big slice of pizza float, all that stuff. You can fit on that.
The
nice.
Donut. The donut float.
I do have the donut ones you gave
the
me, too.
One, yeah.
You know what's cool? It has that confetti in there. It looks like sprinkles on the donuts.
Oh, it's inside.
It's inside. You shake it.
No, that's
nice. It's almost like a snow globe. It's awesome.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. That's the update on that front.
We got an email last week, Beetle.
Yeah.
On the 4th of July. So I didn't see it until much later.
Who the hell's going to take
probably
the time
didn't
on the 4th
it.
To email?
Well, there was something that happened during the Red Sox game, and Billy Wright emailed us to tell us what was going on,
Billy?
And included a video of it, which is really good because it includes him laughing. But Jim Louth, of course, like, oh, I have that game recorded on my DVR. Here I can access it. And he found it, and it's a much better quality audio.
All right.
Thanks to Jim. So here is what one listener wanted to share with us on the 4th of July. From the Red Sox game, ladies and gentlemen, Dave O'Brien.
Let's check out what events are coming up at Foxwoods Resort Casino on Saturday's Jerry Seinfeld. July 13th, celebrating 50 years of Yes. August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots. So, terrific lineup coming up.
Oh, you dork.
Bush Stone.
You old hack.
Temple Pilots.
Bush and Stone and Temple Pilots.
Bush and Stone and Temple Pilots, so terrific lineup coming up.
As a guitar rock there at Foxwoods.
You can clearly...
Jim, what was the name I screwed up in Providence when I was doing a read?
Please read verbatim.
Play or something. I screwed something up the same
way. It's about a lifestyle.
Temple Pilots.
Play it again.
Pilots of the Temple.
I want to hear it again.
August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots. So
there's no excuse. I looked it up. Dave O'Brien
is 50.
Dave O'Brien is 54 years old.
This is baseball.
So when Stone Temple Pilots first became a thing, let's call it. Big Jim just came in the studio. Big Jim, want to say 92?
Yeah, 92.
Like fully like out there, plush is like ginormous.
He was like 30.
Yeah.
He should know this.
He's right in the wheelhouse. He should know who that band is.
This is baseball, dude.
Bush and there's Stone. Two that you need to know. Have you ever heard of Bush? Or have you ever heard of Stone Temple Pilots?
Breathe in.
Bush and Stone.
Never heard of.
Bush and Stone.
Never heard of.
Maybe he likes to put Bush and Stone.
Never heard of. Got Weiland before. And Stone Temple Pilot. They don't like me doing that anymore, so I'll stop.
August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots.
Who doesn't like that?
I've been asked to lay off.
Oh, really?
Why? Does he whistle a lot? Does David?
I mean, listen to
Listen
to any broadcast
he
ever.
He doesn't whistle in that. Let's hear it again.
You can't unhear it.
Now I'm going to pay attention for it, and then I won't be able to get past it.
Once you hear it?
He doesn't say it on Stone or on Temple Pilots.
Maybe self-conscious now.
When Pomeranz comes back, Pomeranz.
July 13th, celebrating 50 years of Yes.
Yes.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Bush and Stone.
And Temple Pilots.
August 4th, three legendary rock bands, The Cult, Bush and Stone, and Temple Pilots. So
that is a great email.
Some acid rock.
Hey, what's the emailer's name again?
Billy Wright.
Billy Wright. Thank you. Goodbye.
And Billy Wright's original email is just him videotaping the TV.
Laughing.
And as soon as he says, Temple Pilots, he goes,
Eddie Vedder and Pearl Oyster Jam coming to Fenway Park later this summer. Can't wait for that.
Wow, that's good. That's a good find. Wow. So what was yours? Do you have one today?
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate Derek Jeter. On this day 7 years ago, he got his 3,000th hit. It was a home run off David Price.
That's what he wanted to share. I wanted to share this if we have time, the almonds commercial for Zoe, because he says almonds.
You ever had a Snickers almond?
Almond.
I love almonds. You like almonds?
I like almonds.
Yeah, everybody loves almonds. Everything's almond now. You know what I love most about almonds? Everything about almonds. My girlfriend's got almond hand soap.
That's the sound of the driver throwing himself out of the car and then the car crashing into a pole.
It's my new favorite commercial now.
It's almond.
Because it looks like Mason, Mongo, Souza, and B-Rob riding in a car together.
Mongo Jerry.
Next time you watch it.
Yep. Which we found out while you were gone. That Mungo Jerry there, that's the name of the group, not the guy.
Not the guy.
Oh!
Yeah.
I thought he had a big forehead or something.
No.
No. One of the other.
What? Don't. Leave it. Just leave it there.
Okay, we'll do.
Billy Lanny says almonds.
Almonds. It's almonds.
What? What is it?
Almonds.
Almonds?
Almonds?
Yeah.
Almonds. Jim, say it.
All right, Big Jim, coming up next.
Good to be back. Negative show coming up.
Almonds.
How's those almonds? The non-salted almonds.
You like almonds?
I like almonds.
You don't say it's not almonds?
Yeah, everybody loves almonds.
Almonds.